is, you know, to quote Mike Tyson, it's all great till you get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And that's life. And, you know, diet, health, you know, faith, work, it's all the same. It's what happens when you come to that, you know, crossroads. Which way do you go?
Welcome to season 17 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. Season 17, moving right along. Finally got a clean bill of health, so I'm feeling much better. And this week's featured conversation is with my friend Tyler Dickerhoof, who really just not only brought energy to this show, but he brings great wisdom and experience. Not only does he lead an indirect team, so if you're out there and you lead an indirect team, there's definitely some stuff in here for you. But he's also really passionate about four big pillars of life, which we touch on all of them. We touch on work, family, faith, and health. And Tyler specifically has a lot of experience in the health and wellness space. And so we touch on that a great deal. There is a ton of great stuff in this episode. And maybe the part I like the most is towards the end about the law of attraction. And we talk a lot about how part of our job as a leader is to attract people to us. And so I hope you'll think about that today as you listen to the show. So without further ado, here's my interesting conversation with my friend, Tyler Dickerhoof. Just a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by LearnLoft.com. And the Ultimate Leadership Academy number 2 just opened up this week. We have limited spots remaining. This is a 3-month Ultimate Leadership Academy that's designed specifically to help you go from manager to leader. It includes our Welder Leader 360 assessment and report, a one-on-one coaching call with me, as well as 6 live webinars taught by me twice a month. I hope that you'll take this opportunity, join me on this journey. I invite you, I want you to be a part of the Ultimate Leadership Academy number 2. And if you sign up before October 17th, you're going to get an extra $50 off the program, $200 instead of $250. And I really want you to be there. Go to learnloft.com/Ultimate Leadership Academy. learnloft.com/Ultimate Leadership Academy to learn more.
I've talked at length in the show about, you know, our leading at work. We talk a lot about leading at home. We talk less about leading in our health and why leaders should care about our health, and then why leaders should care about their faith. But I think you've done just a masterful job at making sure you have the correct balance in all 4 of these big areas, not only in your own personal development, but then helping other people think about these 4 areas. Was that intentional?
It was intentional how God put it before us. So let me take a step back and say my previous career, I worked corporate enterprise for 5 years. I was a dairy nutritionist by trade. And some people are going to be confused. Think about what a dietitian does for humans. I did that for cows. So I worked for Cargill for 5 years doing that. And about halfway through it, I realized that I wanted to have my own business. So 2006, Kelly is at this point 7 months pregnant. I get the bright idea to start my own nutrition business. So that's leaving a paycheck one day, stepping into the world and hoping to get paid. Now, I had had some clients lined up. I had some things lined up and actually started that first month better off than when I was employed. Kelly was a professional hairdresser. And so when we first met, got married, Kelly's parents encouraged us to do something together. My parents, growing up on a dairy farm, worked together. Kelly's parents worked together. And we prayed for the opportunity to do something that had 3 core elements. Had to do about nutrition, because that was my passion. It had to do with making people feel good about themselves, because that was Kelly's passion, doing hair. And there was a caveat of mine because of being born and raised in agriculture, had to do with cows. And, you know, that's still a passion of mine today. And I see a lot of virtue in just agriculture in general. And, you know, so when this opportunity that we've been on the journey the last 7 years in network marketing and specifically in the health and wellness space, when it literally fell into our lap, you know, Kelly was on an airplane and that's how she was introduced to the company that, you know, we've been a partner with here for 7 years. And it was just kind of like God put everything together. And, you know, so from that, it's again been a passion of ours. And I think when you talk about those four areas, the work, the faith, the family, the health, a lot of those have been out of balance at times. And I think, you know, the pure virtue of balance is it's, you know, managed imbalance. And, you know, I think each one of those popping up at times, different factors that have occurred in our life over the last, you know, 15 years that Kelly and I have been together, the, you know, 18 years me professionally have all kind of culminated to where we've been now. And it's through that passion, it's through that, you know, seeking God's guidance that we've had the success, not by our own virtue. And, you know, I'll sit here and say that I still don't think I'm successful. And that's not a deprecation on me. It's, you know, I appreciate you, John. You speak life into me and things that I don't understand, but yet it's still seeking every day that what's driven me in each one of those four areas was an experience of some type in my life so far that makes them so important.
What's the easiest for a leader to fall out of balance with, or what's something that you've fallen out of balance with that most people probably can relate to?
Oh, I think you can fall out of balance of all four of them. I would say societally, the one that's probably at the paramount today that for the last 20 years hasn't been is health. You know, I talk to, you know, people our age, people that are, you know, in their, you know, middle career type, you know, years. And, you know, I was talking to a friend last week, and he's like, you know, I've done such a great job of, you know, really building my business, focusing on work. I've, you know, just recently married and really spent a lot of time there. And, you know, we have a new baby and spent a lot of time there. But man, I'm nowhere as good a shape as what I was when I was in high school or in my early 20s. And, you know, it's just not a priority. And I think that's the area that obviously it's a passion of mine. Nutrition has been since I was probably 10, 11, 12 years old. And to me, I've had those ebbs and flows. And I think you have young kids, you know, getting married. I, you know, talked about this earlier where, you know, our daughter was born before our first anniversary. And I can remember at that point, it's like, do I go work out or do I spend an hour at home with my daughter? Well, I spent an hour at home with my daughter. And, you know, that kind of continued. And, you know, I started to get exhausted. I started to get tired. I didn't sleep as well. All those normal things that happen when you're not physically active. Now, fortunately, I had a career where I was, you know, it was nothing to walk 5 to 9 miles a day. That was just normal. Mm. And yet, if we're in an office space like I've experienced now, you know, over the last, you know, 10 years in some fashion, man, it's really easy to get stuck behind a desk and not be active. And that makes a huge impact on how you perform. Your attention goes down, just all those different factors. But at the same point, if you're not putting the right fuel in your body, you know, we wouldn't expect you're there in Charlotte, Hendrick race cars, they're not going to go buy, you know, gas from whatever gas station. No, they're going to have premium fuel to put into their cars. Why don't we do that as people? Because society never thought of it. Well, now today... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, man. No, I've been thinking about this. I literally just had a conversation with someone, a mutual friend who, you know, he seems to go to the gym every day, and he's got 2-3 kids, and he's got a pretty strenuous job. And my friend said, I just don't know how he does it, you know? And I'm like, I mean, I know how he does it. He prioritizes it where yeah. I don't, or he or my other friend doesn't. What are some of the things that you've been able to do or put around in your life to continue to prioritize both the physical aspect of taking care of your health, but also the way that you eat? Because I think it's just not an area we've covered a lot on the podcast, which is how do we help leaders be healthier?
You got to tie it to something. And, you know, I think it's real hard for someone to say, okay, you know, my performance today at work is going to be determined by what I put in my body. But I think it's real easy to sit down and say, and again, if you don't have kids, that's fine. You know, make it about something competitive otherwise. Like I love competitive sports. That's what drives me. So I was just talking to a friend about this before this, you know, we were recording, and it's like, I train so I can go play sports with guys much younger than me and compete. But that's driven by something that I experienced early in my life. So I grew up on a dairy farm, you know, tough life, hard work. My dad was up, you know, 4:35 in the morning every day, you know, going all day long until 7:38 at night. That was every day. That was every day of my life. He as well ran a nutrition business for cows as well. I followed in the same career. And, you know, his priority in life wasn't health and wasn't nutrition. And I can remember as a, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old, I wanted to play with my dad. I wanted to throw the ball. I wanted to play football. And he was either too busy or he wasn't healthy enough to do so. And he wasn't massively unhealthy. My dad was a competitive, you know, college football player and great athlete, but it just, it wasn't a priority. It's eat whatever and just live. And I took from that from a young age is I never want to be in that place. So my driver every single day is my three kids, my daughter, my two sons, is that when they are 18, 19, 20 years old and they want to go climb a mountain, they want to go play football, they want to go play basketball, they want to do whatever, I'm there and I'm going to beat them. And that's what drives me. I also know from experience and a lot of education is that drives me to be able to perform better at work. And I think to me, that's where it's very personal. And I think, you know, someone like yourself, how can you personally, I know you're an avid golfer. And if you're like sitting there, John, and I don't think everyone needs to be, you know, in a gym for, you know, 2 hours a day or, you know, just this wildly, you know, super, super strict diet. It is do the, you know, the 80-20 Pareto's principle. And if you can want to play golf and that's your passion, then do so. I bet you understand that if you are in better shape, you feel better, you eat better, you perform better golfing. And if you can model that for your kids, if you can model that for others around you, that's like, I can go have a drink. I can go have a beer. I can go have a burger. But I know the rest of my life is balanced to where I can manage through that. Man, I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better coworker because I've given myself the advantage to, you know, be at my best.
Well, and it's one of these things too, where there's an old saying back in my sales training days, no pain, no change. And
yeah,
when it comes to health and wellness, sometimes it takes a real painful moment or it takes getting on a scale at a doctor's office or whatever it may be as you get older in life and you're sedentary and at work and you eat unhealthy like many of us do. Sometimes it takes a real painful moment to make us want to change or to make us want to change our habits and then keeping those habits in place. And it sounds like you've just been able to do that for your whole life. And a lot of people just haven't been able to achieve that. More the up and down, the diet, the gain, the diet, the gain, the yo-yo it is of health. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a great lesson there to learn that the model that you've provided is, you know, I work on my health every day. It doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect. Doesn't mean I'm not going to eat a burger. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have a beer. But I know that tomorrow I'm going to wake up and being active is a part of who I am and putting the right stuff in my body is a part of what I do. And I think it's great.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say, I think our society has gotten to the point where it's so, dude, it's confusing that you're like, I don't know where to start. And you know, that paralysis by analysis, like just start somewhere. And you know, if that is, you know, looking for, you know, hey, obviously we are partnered with a company that has, you know, protein shakes. Again, that comes back to what I was important to me. I'm a dairy farmer at heart. I own cows and I love dairy products. Are they for everything? No, there's other ways, but there's a lot of virtue in the balance of it. You know, we talked about balance earlier. What a lot of people, we just as a society have never been taught is it's all about balance nutrient wise. And it comes back to that car and fuel. You know, if you know anything about race cars, I know a little bit. I know a little bit about engines. And you have to have the right blend of fuel and you have to have the right blend of oxygen. And if one of those gets out of whack, the car's not going to run right. And our human body's the same way. If, you know, there's three main components, there's fat, there's carbohydrates, there's protein. That's in everything. And if those are out of whack, dude, your body's out of whack. And if you can get those dialed in and if you can find an easy way to kind of manage that, that's when it's easy. And it's not this, arduous. I am, you know, so painstakingly stuck to a diet. It's what's my plan? It's no different than, you know, a business plan.
Just making lifestyle choices. Yeah.
And it's, I think once you understand that everything is, you know, to quote Mike Tyson, it's all great till you get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And that's life. And, you know, diet, health, you know, faith, work, it's all the same. It's what happens when you come to that, you know, crossroads. Which way do you go? Well, I can veer off to the left from a, you know, have a burger with some friends, but I also know I'm not going to do that the next day and the next day and the next day. I bring it back in line. I make sure I'm well balanced because I've experienced that. And I think you never know how good you feel until you feel good. And that also goes from a family point of view. You don't know how good your family can be until your family's in a good space, until you're enjoying time with your spouse, you're lifting each other up, you're learning more about each other. That's work. That is, you know, faith of, you know, pouring yourself more into, you know, developing your spiritual growth, because that's a huge part of life. Mm-hmm. It's when you can kind of prioritize that, as you said earlier, that you really see, you know, change occur.
Well, it's excellent advice. It's really excellent advice. It's harder to put into practice, and everybody I think knows that. You've also spent a lot of time and effort, energy, developing your own leadership skills. I mean, you've spent a lot of time in John Maxwell's program. You have a podcast called Tyler and Kelly, where you interview some of the best thought leaders around leadership. What's one lesson from that experience that you really carry with today that you didn't have before you started that journey?
The first thing I was going to say, and I think I knew this before, but I've just, you know, further developed it, is it's not about you. The thing I would say beyond that, that really has been exposed to me in a bigger way, is passion is everything. And I've long been described as a passionate person. I'm intense. I'll acknowledge that. I'll accept it. I'm super intense. But I've had to really manage that intensity to not overwhelm those around me. And I think that's where it's truly embodying passion. And passion is being so like ingrained by what you're doing that every challenge you come through, you're like, yes, great, let me climb this hurdle because I know it's going to make me better and it's going to get me closer to where I want to be because it's something I believe in. And if it's not something that you believe in, if it's not something that, you know, really drives you and fulfills you, then you're not going to be passionate about it. And if you're not passionate, you're not genuine, you're, you know, it just doesn't work. You're unfulfilled all the way around. And yeah, passion is by far, and I've seen great people exemplify that to me. You talk about John Maxwell. I've had the opportunity to meet Art Williams, probably one of the most passionate people I've ever, you know, been around, and loving, and a heart as big as anything in the world, and it all exudes from his passion to help others because it's not about him.
Well, this is interesting because you lead other people in your business that aren't necessarily direct employees. They own their own businesses, and a large amount of what you do is influencing them to movement, to trying to impact them, to have passion about the things that you guys sell and how you help impact people's lives. How is leadership different in leading people that aren't your direct employees versus someone that's an indirect employee?
Oh, I think it's more natural, to be honest, because you truly have to, you know, find out where that person wants to go. And, you know, there's a lot of leadership corporately, I think, is now encompassing it, is your goals are not important if you don't understand the goals of those people around you. Well, that's front and center in our business. It's like, I can have goals, but if no one else around me wants to accomplish that, we're not getting very far. I look at, you know, the example of sports are everything because it's easy to study. It's easy to follow. It's easy to mimic. I mean, you talk to some of the best, I'll say this, I've learned more about leadership in myself, leading myself from Bill Belichick by example than anyone else. And that is believing in people, saying, this is your job. I know you're the right person. This is the parameters. Go and do. Now, everyone has their quirks, right? But I believe you blend that with passion and you see some of the most amazing sports, you know, coaches, Coach K, you know, they're in North Carolina at Duke. And it's just, he does that. He is passionate. John Wooden, passionate people that are all about others first. And then that's what leads into their success. So when I look at our businesses, you know, no different than a sports team. It's like guys can pick and choose. You know, they can decide to sign with a professional team. They could sit out. They could, you know, demand a trade. They could just not show up. You can go to a college and, you know, be at Clemson and they can be like, hey, dude, I'm going to transfer away. I don't want to be here. So you have to be so ingrained to them. Well, your corporation is the exact same. They could leave tomorrow. And that's where I think it's really coming down to, what are your personal goals? What are your professional goals? What are your overall goals to move you farther? And if those line up where we want to go, great. If they don't, hey, they don't. Where can I find a place for you that your goals fit wherever that's going?
It's a really interesting question to ponder when it comes to leadership, just because we've moved so far. The pendulum has swung so far into kind of the, I guess you could say the gig economy, you know, the kind of do-it-yourself, 1099, Uber driver kind of, you know, Fiverr, do your own project.
Network marketing. Yeah.
Yeah, all those kinds of things. It's gotten so popular, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I think it does add a layer of complexity for a leader that isn't spoken about often. And tying to, I mean, I think there's certainly lessons that a leader at an organization that has direct reports and people that work underneath them from a hierarchical standpoint can learn about asking about what their goals and their passions are and what they're trying to achieve that is often missed. But I think it's interesting to flip the other side of the coin, which is you have to do that in the format that you're leading in, or else you just don't get to their heart. And if you don't get to their heart, you're not going to get anywhere as a business, as a team. And I think it's really interesting that the dynamic shift in leading, you know, in a corporate environment versus leading in a 1099 environment.
Well, I think what's interesting is if you look at, you know, great examples of caring organizations, I'm thinking in my head of Chick-fil-A. And what the Cathy family has done. You don't have to step far into their corporate offices to understand they're all about heart and all about care. And that exudes the entire organization. And when I think I look at organizations today that focus on that and use that model, we've talked about Casey Crawford, what he's done with Movement Mortgage. That to me is the organizations I want to emulate. Because those people are moved because of, you know, the bigger why, as Simon Sinek says, is, you know, why do we want to go there? Well, you have to know that corporately, but you have to know that individually. And if each one of those parts aren't going to that same why, well, it's not going to work. And I think that's also the freedom of saying everyone can have their why. And if it doesn't match up with the organization, well, that's okay. Let me find you somewhere that does align. And that's something I've learned from Craig Rochelle. You know, he said that in a lot of his leadership podcasts. A lot of his information is if I hold you here, then I'm doing you and me a disservice. And sometimes recognizing that you're not a right fit, that it's not going the right direction, I'm holding you back from your potential greatness just to protect myself. And so when I compare that to what we do, is it's my job to, if someone comes to the table and say, I want to accomplish X, great. Why? And what can I do to help you get there? And if along the way that changes, that's fine. I just have to constantly ask again, you know, refresh that. And if all of a sudden one day you're like, hey, this is no longer for me, I want to accomplish something different, then I say, what can I do to support you? That's awesome. And
no, it's good stuff, man. And I, it's true. They're just having the ability to connect with someone and where they're trying to go and understand that, but not get territorial about it or not feel like you can't help them because they want to go somewhere that might not include you over the long term, but how can I help you get there in the short term? And that is a completely different way to think. I want to cover two big other big areas. Well, really one big area with you, and then an additional question, which is, I feel like you guys have done a really great job with what Maxwell would call the law of attraction. And have you proactively thought about that law of attraction, building that brand, that recognition between you and your wife and what you're doing in order to attract people to you? Or is that something you didn't do intentionally at the start, but you're doing more now?
I honestly think that was natural to who we were. I think of Kelly much more in that way where, she just has that natural, way to engage with people, beautiful blonde. I'm just some bald guy. And, but that's also recognizable. It's funny. It's like, oh, you're the, it's very recognizable for me in that attraction, because there is that, I think belief and confidence is a big part of it too. In understanding that people want to go somewhere with people that know where they're going. And I would say there's enough confidence and belief. Kelly and I both done Strength Finder. Believe in that. Her number one strength is belief. That drives her. I have self-assurance as number four. And that usually, a lot of ways drives me. It's like, yeah, I'm not that good. I am what I am, and I've learned that more and more, but yet I know I can accomplish it and I'm going to go do it. And then by showing people you're doing it, they want to follow along. And so when you talk about the law of attraction, I think it really comes down to your confidence and your belief in yourself. And sometimes, like, you've talked about it, it takes someone pouring belief into you for you to recognize that. That's something that you've done in our friendship to me, which I totally appreciate, absolutely admire. And I think that's our ability to do to others. And that law of attraction is simply pouring belief and confidence in others. And that's extremely attractive. I'll say this. I've said this to my wife. The most attractive thing that she can do is be confident. And I believe that in all people, the people that are the most, genuinely confident, not arrogant, not cocky, not, exuberant, because usually they're in a lot of ways insecure in others, just overall, I am who I am. I can do what I can do. And I'm confident in what God has enabled me to do. Oh, those are the people you want to be around.
Yeah. And it's an interesting, it's great stuff. And I think so often it's missed in organizational leadership, particularly in big companies, even in like learning and development departments, Tyler. I mean, people forget that part of our job as leaders is to attract people to us. You can outbound, a salesperson can send a call, dial for dollars all day long on the phone. It's a lot easier to have a conversation with someone that wants to have a conversation with you. And I think the same goes with leading people. I mean, we have to think really long and hard and deep about being attractive to our people, so they want to follow, so they want to be a part of where we're going. And I think you have to be intentional about it today. I really
100%.
Do. I really do.
100%. You have to be intentional because, in the day and age of social media, in the day and age of, what we are, I had somebody yesterday that's like, it isn't this overwhelming, but every day has to be your wedding day. And in the essence there is, show up as you are, who you are, in the best light. Does that mean that you have to, go above and beyond? No. Be true to who you are, but always show up that way, because that's what's going to ring true more than anything. And that's what I found I want to be around. I want to be around with someone that's the same today as they are tomorrow, and they're real, but yet it's not a show. Mm. And I think that's something that's been very, very important to Kelly and I is, I don't believe we're flashy people. I don't, try not to be flashy. It's not about, the bling in life. I think, store up your treasures in heaven, not where moth and rust destroy. And that doesn't mean we don't have nice things, but that's not what it's about. The best treasure that I can have is someone listen to this podcast and say, John, Tyler, thank you so much for that information. It helped me go from A to Z. Dude, that's huge.
Maybe just A to B. We'll go from A to B.
Well, yeah, that's cool. But I want to see them go beyond what we were to give them. So we gave them A to B and they took it to Z. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah,
right?
I like to think of it as, you know, crawl, walk, run. I like – and you being a West Coast guy now. I know you're from Ohio, but you're officially a West Coast guy. You probably got married in like a Hawaiian shirt on a beach or something, didn't you?
My in-laws' backyard on a golf course with palm trees.
Okay, there you go. There you go. you really changed side teams here.
I did.
You know,
I tell you what, being in the Pacific time zone is wonderful. Monday night football's done by like 9 o'clock at night. Get to bed early. I mean, everything is catered to the guys on the West Coast.
I'm jealous. Honestly, I am. I want to ask you one more question. It's a question we ask all the time, which is what's harder, leading home or leading at work?
Oh, dude.
And yours are blended, so it's even a more complicated.
Yeah, I would say, is it leading my kids at home or is it leading my family, including my wife at home, which then turns into work? I would say I probably have the bigger head-popping moments with my kids, and that's on me. And that's on me and being impatient. That's on me not wanting to be the teacher that I strive to be every day professionally. And a lot of times I see that as just, you know, that mental exhaustion. And so I have to make sure that I protect that and I have to focus on that. And that is something that, that's where I fail a lot of times with my kids and my wife. If, you know, being that supportive husband and not necessarily being a strategic, business owner about every single instance. And, so definitely leading at home is harder.
Do you guys, we touched on Kelly, a lot in this episode, this conversation. What's she meant to you?
Oh, everything. I had somebody ask, who is the person that has helped you develop and get to where you are now? It's her. There's other people in my life that have made impact, but nothing to what the opportunity that I have today to serve people, to, you know, have the heart that I have to give, you know, all those things that necessarily I didn't understand or know. I know she has brought out the best of me and will continue to bring out the best of me. I need to not stumble my own feet there. And I would hope that I'm doing the same for her. And I think that's something that from a coaching, from a personal point of view, I hope to do that in everyone. And if I can see that happen in my wife, oh, I mean, that's magical.
I'm going to ask you a tough question.
Okay.
Why do men stop allowing their wives to do that?
Oh man, that's not a tough question. That's a question that I have to understand. Why do I let myself be in that position?
Well, it's kind of less about, it's really less about you and Kelly per se, but I feel like there's a real trend happening where marriages, the first 5, 7, 10 years, they're very strong and they're very connected and they're building families together. And then at some point in that, you know, 7, 10, 15, 20 year mark, like we, not everybody, certainly not everybody, but I think men have a tendency to kind of allow their wives to speak less into their life or to be less influential in their life or to go to them less. I've just been thinking about why that is. And I just was curious to get your thoughts.
Lack of fulfillment. On both. And one of the biggest things that I see in my world of network marketing and in our particular business is dominated by women. And you see this major shift in families and see a lot of struggle because of it. Because all of a sudden now you have, you know, example like myself, I was, you know, own my own business, working for a corporate business as well, you know, working many, many hours a week. Kelly wasn't home with our kids. And she wasn't fulfilled doing that. I wasn't necessarily massively fulfilled what I was doing, but I was taking care of our family. And so that's what I was doing. And then all of a sudden you have this opportunity shift where, you know, Kelly is seeing massive fulfillment and, you know, success with that. I'm still managing my businesses, realize there's an opportunity for us to both do this together. And that's caused a lot of struggle. And I know my own insecurities have come from my lack of where is my place and where's my fulfillment? And I think if we look at that from a context of someone coming home to their wife, Kelly has an idea for a book. She has a thought, which is, I think, great. And it's the 70% mom. She goes, there's some moms that love to be the stay-at-home mom, take care of their kids. That fulfills them. That's the 100% professional mom. And then there's some other moms that are like, I don't want to have any part of that. I'm the 20% mom. I want to work in the corporate world. I want to, you know, be able to do things. I want to make a bigger impact. Doesn't mean that I don't love my kids and my family, but it doesn't fulfill me. And I think that can happen for men too. If you're unfulfilled at work, your wife's not going to fulfill you. But if you find a place and a way and you feel like, man, this is where I fit, this is where I'm humming, this is where I'm really making a contribution, everything that your spouse does to amplify that is extremely fulfilling. And so what I think it comes back to just a big part of family structure, work structure of being unfulfilled.
Well, Tyler, we really appreciate you taking the time and sharing some of your story and sharing some of these lessons that you've learned. Where can people find out more about you, the work that you and Kelly are doing? Where's the best place people can check you out?
Yeah, a couple different places, social media, Tyler Dickerhoff, Kelly Dickerhoff. Imagine John will be able to link that in. Tyler and Kelly with an E-Y, KELLEY.com is our website. On LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. Look for the bald guy with big ears.
Well, thank you, Tyler. You're the man.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the opportunity to speak into your crowd, and hopefully I offered some value today.
Thanks for joining us on another week of the show. If you like this, do me a favor and share it with a colleague or a friend, or leave a comment, review, and recommendation wherever you listen to podcasts. Anything that would help us spread the message of leadership, it would mean a great deal to me in my heart.